Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's a Friday. That makes today a Food Friday. And Chef Serge Medikians and Matthew White are here from the cooking school at HDS Home Chef in Hillsdale, New York. Chef Medikians is the culinary mind behind Saravan in Armenia. He's known for the Armenian and Iranian influences he brings to the Hudson Valley cuisine. He has a reverence for fresh, healthy, and local food, and thinks of cooking as a musical endeavor, and I want to talk about that. Matthew White is the proprietor of the Hillsdale General Store and last year launched the HDS Home Chef Cooking School. In his spare time, he's an interior designer, author, and preservationist. There must be no time to sleep. So let's talk cooking. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, or tweet us at WAMCVoxPop. And the email address, once again, voxpop@wamc.org. The number on this, a call-in program, is 800-348-2551. Chef Medikians and Mr. White, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to have you guys here today on a Food Friday. So, Matthew, the Hillsdale General Store has been around for several years now, mm-hmm. 5-6 years.
Right.
And the HDS Home Chef Cooking School is new. So why open a cooking school? The general store was doing quite well. Why?
Well, you know, I think it's nice to have things to buy, but I think it's more interesting to have things to do. And everybody has to eat. And I just love the notion of conversations about food. So we've created this space where we can talk about that.
Not a bad idea. And Tell me exactly what happened. I mean, in a school, a cooking school, right. There are classes, but mm-hmm. what happens? Who do you bring in? What goes on there?
We have an incredible group of experts, a lot of them local, some of them not local. We have master, local chefs. We have best-selling cookbook authors. We have James Beard Award winners. We have New York Times columnists. So it's really a kind of a world-class group of people with various voices about food, and we bring them all in to tell us about it.
Is it intimidating or do novices come in and learn?
Oh, no. My whole motto for what we're doing is low class. Low class.
Oh, well, you've come to the right show. Well done.
World class, but low key.
I see.
World class, but low key. And so it's very, very, anybody could feel welcome there. If you're a really accomplished cook or if you're just starting out, no matter what class we have, you're going to learn something.
Mm. Our guest today is Matthew White, proprietor of the Hillsdale General Store, and also having just launched late last year the HDS Home Chef Cooking School, also in Hillsdale. We're also joined today by Chef Serge Medikians, who is the mastermind behind Saravan in Armenia. And in the billboard or in the introduction that Jessica, our producer, wrote, you think of cooking as a musical endeavor. Explain that, Chef. Explain.
Well, I mean, to me, flavors are like notes. And when spring comes, you have the abundance of new growth and new vegetables, new colors, new weather. Those are all inspiring elements. And when I am in the kitchen, it really is not a rational, cerebral process. It's a very intuitive, inspired, emotional experience, feeling of how we're going to put this together, just the same way that a musical note influences you. And furthermore, I always think of what I do is like following a sense of inspiration in interpreting the vegetable or the herb or the ingredient or the beautiful oysters that I may have brought, just the same way that I think a pianist like Ashkenazi would interpret Chopin's pieces or Chopin's nocturnes, for example. So as a cook in the kitchen, my responsibility is a tremendous amount of humility towards the ingredient and a humbleness that allows me, consequently, and humbleness that allows me to understand and interpret and feel the gifts of the harvest.
That's an interesting, sort of a refreshing take. The classic sort of stereotype nowadays with all the cooking channels is a chef with not a lot of humbleness.
Well, that's really unfortunate that happens to be the case. But I don't subscribe to that school of thought. And actually, I do believe that chefs are a little bit overrated these days.
What do you mean?
Well, they're totally overrated, you know, and I think
you're a chef.
Well, I am a chef, okay. But I'm a cook.
Okay. All
and
right.
The only reason I'm a chef is when I'm working in the kitchen. A chef means somebody in charge. So any team needs somebody to be in charge. But I think the fact that chefs are overrated, one of the consequences of that, and negative consequences of that, is that a lot of home cooks and a lot of people that are interested in cooking feel very intimidated going to the kitchen because they think, oh my God, you know, this chef, I'm not a chef.
Right.
Like, why should I even attempt this recipe because I'm not like you? And that's why I think what Math has done is a great milieu environment that allows people to come and interact and learn that, you know, it's not brain science and that, in fact, the food that you eat at my restaurant or at any restaurant has gone through many, many failed attempts. You end up eating an end result.
Right.
You don't see the process for that.
And I think this is what's so exciting about what we're doing is people are afraid to make mistakes. And you can't be a cook if you're afraid to make mistakes. You know, part of the learning experience is failing and failing and failing. And I know that Serge, any good chef or good cook, whatever you want to call yourself, has gone through this process of failing a million times to get to that perfect dish. Am I right?
100%. I mean, you know, there's many times that I will be at the farmer's market or at the farm, and I will come up with these great ideas, and I'll come to the restaurant with all these ingredients. And when I try to implement the idea, I realize, oh my God, that's like such a bad idea.
Right.
Which sounded really great when I saw this because you're inspired. But the trick is to not give up. The trick is to be present, to be humble, to see how your ingredient is behaving and tasting with all the other things that you've put together and figure out a way to make it work. But the only way you can figure out how this is going to work is to pay attention to where you may have taken a wrong step or what the ingredients is missing so you can give the ingredient
right.
the attribute that it wants.
But you seem to be taking this from an artistic standpoint. When those who would come into a cooking class with no knowledge and lots of fear, what I think inspires a lot of that fear is not knowing the technique. Now, you can teach the technique, and you can teach, I need to put just a drop of this ingredient in or a spoonful of that. However, and again, I will relate this to musicians. You can teach a kid 8 million scales, and he can play them over and over and over again, but sometimes that kid just doesn't have it.
No.
He doesn't have what it takes to be an artist.
You know what I think? As a society, I think we're intimidated. We're told that we're not creative. We're told that you have to follow a recipe. We're told that you have to, you know, do it by the book. Or, you know, but we're all creative spirits. And I think when you allow yourself to be open to that, rather than just say, oh, it says I have to put in 2 cups of this or three tablespoons, you know, when you allow yourself to not be intimidated by the ingredients or the experience and be a creative being. And that's when you have fun in the kitchen. And that's when you create really good food.
And in light of what Matthew's saying, and I agree with that, not everybody should be a classical musician. Not everybody should be a pianist. I don't want to be a Chopin. I may be a jazz player,
right.
Or I want to be a pop player.
Well, jazz.
The question is, can everyone learn a technique? The question is yes. Does everyone have his or her own voice? Not everybody's going to be an artist. Not everybody wants to be a chef. But everybody needs to eat. And the joy of cooking is what we try to do in inspiring people that, you know, You're gonna go into the kitchen. Don't be afraid. You may burn it. You may over-season it. You may completely mistreat it. But you know, 99% of the time, you can still eat it. And by eating it is really where you're going to learn
right.
where you've gone wrong.
What to do next time.
And to alleviate and eliminate the disposition of discomfort and fear is really a very valuable thing to do. And I want the listeners to really understand, every chef that we see or we hear or we read their books,
yeah.
they either have a team of people that work with them or they themselves have screwed up gazillion times. Mm-hmm. We only see the
finished,
end product.
Yeah,
just right. the same way that a poet or a writer will go through so many edits before the poem or the chapter is finished. It's the same idea.
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting line of discussion. We're joined today by Chef Serge Medikians of Saravan in Armenia and Matthew White, the proprietor of Hillsdale General Store, who recently launched the HDS Home Chef Cooking School. And Matthew, it must be kind of nice to see someone who, like me, who would walk in terrified.
Yeah.
And then just sort of walk out with a little zen, a little relaxation.
Well, you know, it's really eye-opening because a lot of people are so fearful. Your perception of going into a cooking class is, oh, I've got to learn this technique. I've got to whisk this right. I've got to be able to, you
But
know,
you do, though, don't
we,
you?
You do have to learn that. But I think this is where that sort of... We try to demystify it and take the pressure off so that you can just look at it, accept it, take it in, and then to make it your own. And it's been fascinating. I mean, because I'm not a chef. I'm a pretty decent home cook.
Yeah.
And I love good food, but I'm not a professional. But I so appreciate those who are. And I've learned so much just in the last 6 months with all the classes we've had, watching these different people do things so differently. And it's, I don't know, it's just really eye-opening and inspiring.
Chef, is he any good? Can he cook?
I was just thinking that I'm jealous of Matthew's position because he's learned so many little tricks.
Yeah.
He has so many tricks up his sleeve.
All right, here's a question. Now, by the way, if you want to call in and ask these guys a question or share a recipe, 800-348-2551 is the number, 800-348-2551. This one came in from Gina via email as the show is beginning. Here you go. You ready? Coconut question. Whenever I toast coconut in the oven and then open the oven door, I'm almost overwhelmed by a gas, eyes burning, etc. Is this something that the coconut gives off naturally or due to processing or chemicals? Something to worry about? That's from Gina.
That's a really good question, and I don't know the answer.
You don't know the answer? All right, you're 0 for 1.
Generally, when I toast coconut, I open the oven, I'm like, oh, my God, that smells great.
Hmm. So maybe there's a problem with Gina's coconuts.
Is there coconut burned, or is the coconut toasted properly?
I wish I knew, and it was an email, so we can't really follow up with Gina unless she emails us again. All right, number to call here is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Chef Serge Medikians and Matthew White, and your call's coming up on Vox Pop. We'll get to those right after a break.
Support for WMC comes from Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations, supports small farms and healthy living. Field-goods.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages, suttermeats.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting the High Mud Comedy Festival with Tig Notaro, March 11th and 12th, and The National in concert on June 11th, massmocha.org. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Food Friday, 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And what fun we are having today. We are talking with Matthew White, who just launched the HDS Home Chef Cooking School last year, and Chef Sarah Medikians of Saravan in Armenia. And you've been there 10, 12 years now, right?
Yeah, we'll enter our 12th year in May.
Okay, so 12 years ago, it must have been quite an eye-opening experience for those in and around Armenia to have a restaurant like that.
Well, you will have to ask them, but it was definitely a very rewarding process when opened up in May 2005 with my sensibility and my flavor spectrum, which is strongly influenced by Iran and Armenia and just Eastern Mediterranean in general. But as an Armenian from Iran, what I'm comfortable with, the notes, the flavors, the spicing, that I'm comfortable with, I like to say the spicing that I like to dance with,
yes,
are really the ones that I grew up with, the ones that I'm familiar with, and as I get older and I live longer, and what I have kept and what I've let go of. So it was very rewarding to see that one of our signature dishes, trout with hummus, preserved lemon, and dill, is really popular. No, because it would be too cold and not the same way. You have to come down
next
and
time.
Taste it.
Next it's time. That scrumptious. Sounds great.
You have a kitchen here? Because I'll cook it for you.
Well, we have a kitchen, but I don't think you'd want to cook in it. It's a radio station, after all. So what have you learned, and how have you changed the traditional ways of cooking that you grew up with for the American palate?
That's a very good question. I mean, Iranian cook and Armenian cook is really home cooking. So it takes a long time. There are a lot of stews. The rice has several stages. Persian-style rice has several stages. So I have either shortened them or altered them. And I always need to reemphasize that I don't consider myself a Middle Eastern restaurant. I'm an Armenian from Iran, but I've been living in the U.S. for 36 years.
Yeah.
So the food that comes out of me is not traditional Iranian or Armenian food. It's food that comes out in the Hudson Valley through an Armenian from Iran that has been living in the U.S. for 36 years. So it's very much a today's food. What I have learned is, in light of our discussion earlier, that it's totally okay for me to make mistakes, that it's totally okay for me to take chances, that it is what is really important is the inspiration that I find, to not let go of the inspiration and continue the inspiration until I get to that point of satisfaction.
But how do you do that and serve food to a paying customer?
Well, I don't serve the food that I screw up.
Ah,
you know.
Well, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah, so you've
learned that. That's good.
Of course. But it's important to emphasize that experimenting and playing and finding my own voice and wanting to express that voice has become a lot more important and significant for me.
And I assume that you have a staff of people working in your kitchen.
Yeah. I mean,
but how do you transfer what you have known and get them on the same page with you?
Well, I'm very lucky. I have staff that have been with me for a long time. And that becomes the role of the leader. You know, one of my responsibilities is to not only oversee what is going on in the kitchen, but also help everyone to understand what it is that I'm trying to achieve.
The philosophy. All right, let's go to the phones. You guys ready for some calls?
Sure.
All right, here we go. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Madeline in Rhinebeck. Madeline.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I just want to attest to the fabulous impact Serge's restaurant has had as a close friend of the Schneiders in Armenia.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Yeah. Yes, of course.
And secondly, my question is, I live with somebody who has a very sodium-restrictive diet, and I just wondered, can a person use salt substitute the same way with the same effect as salt?
That's a great question. I don't know what you mean by salt substitute.
They have one that's like potassium chloride instead of sodium chloride.
Ah, I'm not familiar with that, so I'm not going to speculate about that. But I can tell you that you can reduce your salt and add lime, specifically lime juice, a sprinkle of lime juice. And if you don't have lime juice, lemon or a light vinegar like champagne vinegar, they accentuate the impact of salt.
Thank you so much.
You're
That's very
welcome.
Helpful.
Thanks, Madeline. We appreciate the call.
Okay.
Bye. Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And over to Roberta in Greenfield. Roberta.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm in a quandary. How do I cook millet without ending up with either glue or it being burned? What is the timing? And what is the best way to season it?
Why is Matthew laughing? Have you had this problem as well?
No, it's just a fascinating question.
All right.
I'm waiting for the answer.
Well, you're asking like a $10,000 question here. You know, how do you season it? What is the timing? I think paying attention to it, and I've cooked it several times, and like you, it has turned into mud.
Yeah.
So I think before you put it in water, in a bowl, to add a little bit of olive oil or canola oil, some sort of a fat that you may have in the kitchen, and season it. Mix it with a whisk before you put it in water, and then carefully simmer it and pay attention to what is happening. But I also appreciate the question that you've asked, you know, like, how do I season it? You know what you like. You know how much salt you like. So experiment with it. For me to say how to season it is going to tell you what I like or what I think people should like. And I don't want to take that disposition. And what I want to encourage you to do is the technique of adding some fat and mixing it before you put it in water so the kernels have some fat around it. And then taste the seasoning and play around with either spices or herbs and see what you like.
What kind of spices?
Well, you know, what do you want to do? Do you like cumin? Do you like coriander seed? Do you like cinnamon? Do you like star
onion?
Well,
I like them all, but I don't know what to add.
Well, this is where I'm hoping that you could try to experiment. If you want to serve it with some game or duck or something heavy.
No, I want it for breakfast instead of cornflakes. I'm sick of cornflakes.
Oh, then definitely.
Yeah, I want to cook something.
Then definitely I would, if you're doing it for breakfast, then I would definitely go with something sweeter and spicier like cinnamon or star anise or cloves or even allspice and add a little bit of milk.
Bam.
Sounds good.
You mean while it's cooking or after it's cooked and before I eat it?
You can do either one.
Wow.
You see?
Great.
What I think Chef Serge wants you to do is make some mistakes first.
I have made all the mistakes. I've burned it. I've glued it. I've had bullets on top and glue underneath. Am I supposed to stir it after it first gets started simmering so that I don't end up with the bullets on top?
Well, you definitely would want to try that, yes. Why do you think that it becomes muddy underneath and then bullety on top? So maybe it needs to be mixed.
Well, it's hard. It doesn't cook what's on the top. It cooks underneath.
That's why
I don't know the proportions of water to grain. Can you help me out there?
No, I don't either.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear.
But, you know, we play around in the kitchen all the time.
Hey, Roberta, I'm so sorry, but we got to move on. But good luck.
Yeah, I need it.
Thanks a lot for
the
call.
Thank you.
Bye now. 800-348-2551. All right, before we get over to John in Vermont, this is a follow-up from Gina. Remember the coconut conundrum?
Yeah.
All right, here
we
go. She says, sorry about email. No, never. It never burned. I keep an eye on it, and after the gas thing, I do get that delicious smell. It's just immediately on opening the oven that she gets that gas smell.
So then if it's a gas smell, then maybe there's an oven issue. Is her oven clean?
All right. Careful, Gina. Don't explode the place. All right. Let's go back to the phones. John in Vermont. John, you're on.
Hi. Some of our great friends are Iranians and unfortunately don't live in Vermont any longer. But the dish that I recall best that they made, and I never really knew how, was Persian rice. So can you just kind of walk me through the basics of how you make rice that's so light and fluffy and at the same time has the crispies or crunchies on the bottom of the pan?
You said you were many stages involved.
There are several stages involved. So Iranian rice, what you're talking about is the tadig, the bottom part of the rice. And so it's the tadig, and what makes it fluffy and light is because initially you soak the rice and you wash out all the starch. And then you parboil it in salted water until the rice is just semi-soft, still has a crunch, and right away you drain it, and then you put it back in your pot, and you, with the back of the spoon, you create a couple of holes in the mass of the rice, from the top of the rice to the bottom of the rice, and you dot it with butter.
Okay.
And then you put a towel on the lid of your pot, as so the towel is between the lid and the rice. And the purpose for that is, as the rice is simmering, the water evaporates and the towel catches the water, and the water doesn't go back in the rice. And the reason you put the holes in the rice, so you're facilitating the escaping of the steam.
Brilliant.
And depending on how much rice you're making, you pay attention to it, and everybody and their mother and grandmother has burned the tadig, because you learn about your pot, you learn about the various portions of the rice that you're making. So I really encourage you to play around with it, and don't be shy with the butter. Use really good quality butter and enjoy.
Thank you.
Hey,
you're
John,
welcome.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Chef Sarah Medikians and Matthew White is here. What's coming up at the school, Matthew?
Well, we just announced a bunch of new spring classes. We have in our local chef masterclass series, we have Josephine Pruhl of Local 111 teaching a few classes. We have David Worth of Crossroads Food Shop in Hillsdale. He's going to teach a class. Sarah Medikians is teaching two classes as well, one on fish, one on vegetables.
All right.
We have Martha Rose Schulman, a columnist with the New York Times and bestselling cookbook author. She's going to be teaching a class in June.
Very nice.
That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Well,
we just
fantastic.
Listed a bunch of new classes on our website.
What is the website?
Which is hgshomechef.com.
hgshomechef.com.
Yep.
Okay. And the number to call here is 800-348-2551. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. And this one came in from Robert via email. And he starts by saying he's a self-taught cook. So I'll give you this question.
Oh, God.
Here we go, Matthew. Self-taught cook, given to some experimentation. I've generally come to understand pasta does not get rinsed such that sauce adheres. However, in reading directions on ramen noodles, rinsing is mentioned prior to steaming. If I'm making a basic ramen-style soup, is rinsing necessary? Thanks, Robert.
Well, I don't cook ramen, but I do a lot of pasta, so I'm going to have to pass this over to Sarah.
Wow, you failed.
I totally failed.
All right.
No, he didn't fail. He's just not going to BS.
All right. But that's what we do here on Vox Pop. Now, go ahead, Chef.
I'm always of the belief that you do not rinse your pasta.
Okay. All right, fair
you
enough.
You want some of that extra starch.
All right, let's go back to the phones, and let's go to Sue in Valencia. Hi, Sue.
Hi, everybody. I am just a huge proponent of agriculture, as my husband works in it, and, of course, we're very lucky in this region to have so many farms around. So I'm interested if there's any spring vegetables or unique fruits that you may be interested in or could tell us something about the use and how you might prepare them.
I assume that question is for me.
I'll take this one.
Both of you, sir.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons that I consider myself a very lucky man is because of the abundance of fruits and vegetables here in the Hudson Valley. And Matthew and I, on the way here, we were both speaking about how we are both so excited about the spring's arrival, because that means farms are going to start going in full production, and spring vegetables will start coming. I mean, I'm always excited about fiddleheads. I didn't know anything about fiddleheads until I moved up here.
Do you forage?
I do forage. I don't have to go far because there's fiddleheads all around Saramon's property, so I get there. And I'm lucky that the restaurant is 12 years old, so a lot of people know that I use fiddleheads, so we get tons of fiddleheads. But another thing that I was not very fond of until I started having fresh asparagus, that's another thing that gets me really excited. And peas and snow peas and radishes. I mean, I can just go on and on and on. For me personally, when Montgomery Place Orchards in Annandale, just south of Bard College in Hudson Valley, opens up, or Migliorelli Farm opens up, or I just see Starling Yard Farm or Bard College Farm, they are all beginning their early spring cleanup and preparation for the season. That is really exciting, because that's almost like a child being told that you can not only go to Disneyland, but you can go to the candy store and the chocolate store, and you can have as many as you want.
Well, nice.
So that's just very exciting.
I feel the same way. I think it's great that it's coming.
So exciting.
Now, how do you prepare the fiddleheads?
I prepare them in many ways. I slice them thinly and use them raw. I sauté them, and sometimes we very quickly pickle them. But generally, I don't pickle them very much, mainly because aesthetically I don't like the color that they take on, which is that really ugly green color.
How do you quickly pickle something?
Well, you don't quickly pickling is the pickling process, but you don't let them ferment too long.
I see.
But regardless, the moment it gets a little bit of acidity, I mean, it's nice and crunchy, but for me, the color is not pleasing, so I don't do it very much.
Okay. Sue, thanks a lot for the call.
Well, sounds delicious. Bye-bye.
Well, have a good weekend. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. All right, let's get another one in before the next break. Let's go to Gretchen in Bronxville. Gretchen, great to hear from you in Bronxville.
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure can. Are you listening on our Mount Kisco transmitter?
I'm actually driving to Cooperstown, New York. So I just wonder, I've had a lot of experience cooking millet. So I just thought I would help that one woman who was confused about being out of water.
Yeah.
It's so almost 2 to 3 cups to one. So you've got like a cup of millet and like 2.5 cups of water. And I soak the millet overnight and drain the water. And then put it all together, and I add, like, a tablespoon of butter, and I also add diced butternut squash or kabocha squash.
Okay.
And it's really, really good when the water's all absorbed. You, like, bring it to a boil and then let it simmer covered. And I would say the whole thing takes about 40 minutes.
Okay.
And it's really tasty.
Well, you know, Chef Serge is grudgingly nodding his head, so I think you agree. Yeah, you're all right?
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine. Why do you soak it the night before?
Because, you know, I have a child with special needs, and there are digestive issues.
Okay.
And I've been told that if you soak grains, whatever grain, whether it's quinoa or rice or, you know, millet in this case, it helps, it's more digestible. And I also find the cooking time, it cuts down quite significantly.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks.
Hey, Gretchen, we got to take a break here, but thank you for the call. The number to call here on Vox Pop Food Friday is 800-348-2551. We'll be right back with the home stretch.
Support for WAMC comes from Kent Hicks Construction, Chesterfield, Massachusetts, specializing in energy-efficient, net-zero, passive house home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restorations. Serving Western Massachusetts, KentHicksConstruction.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. Planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings, indoors or out. At the Curtis House, with 3 rooms available, or at a variety of venues around the area. GloriosaCO.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future, preservenys.org. And Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass, European cuisine infused with flavors of the world, Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork, vivafreshpasta.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Food Friday. Ray Graff here. We're joined today by Chef Serge Medikians of Saravan in Armenia and Matthew White, proprietor of the Hillsdale General Store and the HGS Home Chef Cooking School. So, Chef, you're going to do a couple of classes over there?
Yes, I'm excited. I already did one, and we'll be doing a class on fish. And then, you know, my whole objective with the classes, and I really like also what Matthew has, his philosophy is, and I hope I've gotten it across clearly, the philosophy is, you know, the important thing is to go into the kitchen and cook. Nobody is perfect. And this images that we see in the magazines, cookbooks, on TV, none of the chefs come up with these ideas right away. There's many levels of mistakes that take place before you are given. I'll give you an example. You know, khachapuri is this wonderful dish from Georgia, and I've been wanting to play around with khachapuri for a long time. And I finally did, and now that I'm on Instagram, you know, I followed it. I posted various things on Instagram. It's a Georgian cheese bread.
Oh, yeah.
And to coming up with the dough, it took me 3 weeks to come up with the whole dish. And the restaurant, my staff, finally said, "Chef, can you get obsessed about something else? Because we are eating khachapuri at every meal." But it takes so many levels of experimentation to figure out the dough. Then you have to figure out the cheese combination. How do you bake it? At what level do you bake it? How do you make it serviceable at a restaurant?
Yeah.
You know, all of these are stages.
So, when you teach a class, I mean, there must be that one student who walks in and you say, "God, this person will never get it. They have no clue."
Look.
You haven't seen me yet. I haven't been in there.
Yeah. No. The idea isn't whether you are a good cook, in my opinion, or you're a good cook in Matthew's opinion, or you're a good cook in Thomas Keller's opinion. That's not what is important at all. The question is, do you think that you can cook yourself dinner, or you can cook yourself breakfast, or you can cook yourself lunch? That is what is important, and that's what I hope to inspire. Okay. I mean, one of the, just really quickly, you know, one of the beautiful things that I recently read is Ruth Reichel's book, A Year in My Kitchen. You know, this is a woman who was the food critic for the LA Times, then New York Times, and the editor of Gourmet. But what is really wonderful about that book, or Dana Cowan, who's the editor-in-chief of Food and Wine magazine, they're both voices that are encouraging you to go into the kitchen and cook and then not worry about the mistakes that you make. I mean, Ruth Reichel says, okay, you don't have parsley, use something else. What herb do you have? Dana Cowan's book is Mastering My Mistakes. I mean, this is the editor of Food and Wine.
Okay. All right. And you wanted to add something, Matthew?
No, I was just going to say, I think any, when I watch the classes, and I was at Serge's last class, every minute of it, and it may be a surprise to hear that he's a very dynamic teacher.
I believe it.
His class is so exciting.
Yeah.
But everybody takes something different away from the class. They may not really care on how to cook the trout, but they're really interested in the preserved limit. You know, they're going to take the tips that speaks to them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to talk about in these classes. And so not everybody's going to go away with the same information that is meaningful to them. It reaches a lot of levels.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And Roberta in Rhinebeck is next. Roberta, you're on.
Hello, thank you. I'm glad you'll take two different Robertas in one
show. Why not? Yeah, we have no quota.
Okay. For Chef Radikian, and also if the General Store is also a restaurant, would be for both of you. Do you serve any vegan dishes?
Any? Right. What kind of
vegan
dishes? Vegan dishes. Do you serve vegan dishes?
Yes, we have several vegan appetizers, and we don't have a per se vegan main course, but we're always very open and ready to prepare a vegan dish on the line now, anytime.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, and where are you in Armenia? It's not that big, but I haven't seen you there.
You're right about that.
You're right. Armenia's not that big. So we're right on Route 44, just a little bit west of Route 22.
I'll be in. Thank you. Wonderful.
Hey, Roberta, thanks for the call. Over to Greg in Amherst. Greg, you're on.
Hi there. I have some questions about wild grape leaves. I remember collecting them when I was younger with my grandparents, but they always said that there were different kinds and that we had to look for a very specific variety. Can you help me identify those?
I guess you're asking the Armenian chef here.
All right. I'll take that one.
Well, I did the same thing, Greg, when I was a child, and the direction that was given to me both my by not just my grandmom and my mother, but the men as well, is that you really want to go for younger, thinner, and wide grape leaves, because they're a lot tenderer, and once you blanch them and you wrap your dolma in, it's just going to be not as toothsome and much softer when you're biting into them.
Mm. Now, is there a coloration that I should look for? Somebody told me that I shouldn't take the ones that have a white underside.
I don't know about that, but we definitely went for something that is nice, deep green. So not an old one, not a very young one, just in the middle.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. We appreciate it. You know, anybody who's listened to this show for any length of time knows I'm not that bright, but I've really done it today. Good heavens, there's a chocolate cake over there. We haven't even talked about it.
I know it.
What's up with that?
Flourless chocolate cake. This is one of the recipes that we've had in a few of our classes.
Oh, boy.
It's so darn easy. It's so scrumptious. It's gluten-free.
Okay.
It's great for the Jewish holidays, you know, because...
Yeah, Pesach is coming up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not leavened at all. It's just eggs, right. Cocoa powder, sugar, and chocolate.
Butter, yeah. We've used this in two of our classes, and it's always a huge hit. It also freezes very well.
Wow. Okay, and you know, maybe we should try it.
Well, I'm thinking, here.
Do we have a knife? Oh, you know what? Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Jess, our producer, is not here today. Ordinarily, she brings knives and plates.
You don't need a knife. You just go like this. I'll give you a piece.
Okay,
right,
man.
Here.
Now, okay. You see,
there you
this
go.
Is what the real chefs do. They're
exactly.
People of the people. And he just ripped off a piece of this, and
we're
it's huge.
We're not in the dining room. We're in
very
the kitchen.
Very en famille.
And
here.
You ripped off a piece big enough to put me into a coma. So that's really good. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551.
That's good, right?
Let's go to Lee in Ghent. Hi, Lee. You're on.
Hi. Following along Greg's call about wild grape leaves, I'm interested, when I go out hiking this spring, I love collecting wild, plants that I can eat. But other than putting them in salads, like mustard, it's like a mustard plant or something, and dandelions. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious if these can serve as substitutes for things like parsley or basil or something. You have any ideas about using some of the things we can just find outside in our kitchen?
Okay.
That's a really good question. I'm not a hiker, but there are some wild, as you said, like dandelions or rams or fiddleheads. And right now, I forget the names of a couple other things in the garden.
Garlic
that come up.
Mustard, I think, was one of them. Garlic mustard is like an invasive plant.
You have to be careful with that, though?
That's one of the things that I want to say. It's like I took a course and I learned about how to identify them, and I know that I have them on the property, and I do that. So I don't want to recommend anything except that be very, very careful and very cautious about what it is that you pick and you use. And, I think it's called wild sorrel. I can't remember the name, so don't quote me. I think these are all strong-flavored wild plants. So you taste them, and you decide what you can do with them. You know, do you like the bitterness? Do you like the sourness? Do you like the heat that it gives? And you decide whether or not you would want to toss it in a salad with fresh greens or some fresh radishes or some fresh turnips or peas. If you want a little bit of excitement in your peas, throw in some of the mustard, because the person who's eating it will have a little bite in their mouth. So feel playful.
But be careful. We've done actually a couple of programs, a couple of Food Fridays on foraging. So if you go to WAMC.org and plug in foraging in the search engine, you'll probably come across those shows. And we've had some real experts on it. And the important thing is, you know, don't die.
Yeah, right.
I won't go to the mushroom.
Lee, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
Bye. 800-348-2551. Jane in Oneonta. Jane, you're on.
Hey, Ray, I was worried that no one had brought you any food today, but
you know,
I'm happy to hear about the
cake. I'm such a dope. It's been sitting there the entire program, and it's so delicious, by the way. It's really good.
A little restraint is good. Listen, I have 2 points. One, the guy, John, who called about Persian rice, I wanted to let him know that the current issue, the April issue of Cook's Illustrated magazine, has a whole article on how to make Persian rice at home. It's got diagrams, how to shop for basmati rice, all that good stuff. It looks delicious. I love it anyway.
Cool.
Now, I have a question for Chef Radikian, which is I love to cook at home, and I love Armenian and Iranian food, but I'm wondering if he has, unless he gets all of his stuff through a restaurant supply place, what groceries or international markets that he could suggest, Albany all the way over to Utica. I'm willing to drive.
Well, that's a long ride.
Yeah, you know, I'm in the middle, so I can go either way.
Because Chef Medikian, he's in Amenia, which is even south of Albany, so it's a good trek from Oneonta. But all right, go ahead.
But I'm just saying, any groceries that he could recommend or suppliers?
You know, that's
for the ingredients.
Yeah. I don't know those areas at all, so my recommendation would be to Google something and look and see if
that's
there are
any. That's a cop-out, man.
No, it's not a cop-out. I'll tell you why. Because I go to Sahadi's. And I go to Kalusyan, and the both of them are in New York City. Kalusyan is on Lexington.
Yes, they're both good. No, I have whenever my friends come up to visit, I said, listen, here's the list. You need to bring this.
Exactly.
But thanks for the lead. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, Jane. We appreciate the call. Over to Gregory in Kingston. Gregory, you're on.
Hey, I was going to just add my 2 cents on the quinoa subject.
Sure. Were we on that subject? Oh, okay.
Well, you were, and people seem confused. My chart says two cups of water to one cup of grain, and I've been cooking it with no problem at all. It says 20 minutes, and 20 to 25 minutes for millet. I usually, not always, but sometimes I'll mix the millet with the quinoa. It's very nice. You can also, if you're going to soak that stuff and you decide you're not ready to cook it after you soak it, you can just pour off the water and just rinse it a couple times during the day, and you'll have sprouted quinoa, which is even more healthy. And the other thing is, I don't know about the glue and the bullets and all that, but...
sounds like a Tom Waits song, you know?
Yeah, you know, you're supposed to rinse. You're supposed to wash off that quinoa before you cook it, because it's got saponins on it. And I'm not sure exactly. I don't remember what that is exactly. Some kind of tannin or something. I'm not sure. And it has a bitter taste. And if you wash that off, it will taste better and maybe won't have glue. I don't know.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Hey, Gregory, thanks for the call. We appreciate it very much. The flourless chocolate cake is phenomenal.
It is amazing, right?
Yeah.
And you put this recipe on your website, right?
We did.
Good.
Earlier today it went up. And let's see, we got 5 minutes left here. Let's go to Beth in Hillsdale. Beth.
Hi there. This is a comment from Matthew. Thank you so much. Hillsdale has never looked better. The general store and the new building are beautiful, and you gave the town a facelift.
Are you related in any way to Matthew?
No.
Okay. Oh, good.
Well, all Hillsdalians are related.
All right, fair enough. Well, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. Thank you so much.
Bye now. All right. That was short and sweet. You didn't pay her, right?
No. Okay.
Miriam in New Paltz, you're on.
Hi there. Great show. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
A particular point about the grape leaves, make sure that you don't take the lazy way and harvest them right by the road, because then you're getting the street dust. And if it happens to be a place where there's been anyone spraying herbicides, you'd also be incurring that. So, you know, get a little bit off the beaten path would be my suggestion.
Great advice. And
thanks so much for encouraging people to harvest and enjoy garlic mustard, because wearing its evil hat, it's a miserable invasive that sends out toxins through its roots that discourage other plants. So it really does a double whammy in terms of how it displaces native plants, which support our pollinators, et cetera. Anyway, yeah. Great show, and I'm going to check out the cake recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I think you should. Thanks a lot, Miriam. And over to Rose in Hillsdale. Hello, Rose.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to echo Beth's sentiments about how much Hillsdale has really perked up with the addition of these new businesses.
Cool.
And I also want I have something for both of your guests. First, I want to ask Matthew, is it possible for a group of people to kind of design their own class, sort of?
We do that. We do custom classes, and it's a lot of fun. So we can put something together, definitely.
Okay, awesome. It's terrific. Your place is beautiful. I've been there many times, and I really appreciate it. Thank you. I'd like to ask the chef about vegetarian options at his restaurant.
Is there
a place where somebody like me can go and get something to eat?
Hang on, we got to wake him up. I think you were dozing off.
Yeah, you can't just get something to eat. You can get plenty of things to eat. A lot of our appetizers are vegetarian, vegan, and we have a vegetarian option on the menu. And as I expressed to the vegan caller, we are always ready to do at least two different vegetarian dishes or vegan dishes.
Can I just chime in here? You have a class coming on vegetables, and it's going to be hysterical because he's asking people to bring in a vegetable they love, a vegetable they hate, and a vegetable they don't know about.
Okay.
And on the spot, he's going to create these amazing vegetable dishes.
Oh, this is great. I like that.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. All right, Rose, we're out of time here, but thank you for calling. All right. Chef Serge Medikians, thank you for being here today. You guys got a website for your restaurant?
Yes, Serevan.com, or you can follow me on Instagram or our Facebook, SerevanNY.
All right. And once again, Matthew White, what's the web address?
HGShomeChef.com or HillsdaleGeneralStore.com.
You guys, this was fun, and thanks for the great chocolate cake. Oh, you made my day. Support comes from Mannix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in search engine optimization and internet marketing since 1996, ManixMarketing.com. Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, offering over 100 chocolates, including truffles, butter crunch, and sea-salted caramels, located on Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville, UncleSam'sCandy.com. Capital Roots, celebrating 40 years of providing fresh food and green spaces for the Capital Region. Grow, educate, provide, CapitalRoots.org for details. And Curran Compliance Services, Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota. Compliance consultants to the life insurance industry, announcing a symposium in Albany June 22nd through 24th, currentcompliance.com. Thanks again for listening today. Thanks for all the great calls and the emails. Thanks to Zachary T. Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered very well by an intern, no less. Mary Kate Nestor took your calls. Jessica Blaustein Marshall is our producer. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday for a Medical Monday. Stay tuned now for news.